This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Coming up today, in a matter of minutes, we're going to speak with Danny Young, Dave. Danny Young made his debut last night with the Mariners. He was probably one of the lone bright spots in an otherwise stinky, gross game, if you want to call it a game. Usually a game involves two teams competing. Last night we saw one. But Young went 2 1/3. Gave up 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, and more importantly, no runs given up. So we will talk to him coming up in just under 10 minutes. Paul Moyer today at 3 o'clock. He'll bring some levity to the program. He'll bring some wisdom. He'll talk everybody off the ledge and make us all feel better about life. And then once we feel better, we'll bring in El Hombre at 5 to gloat over his Philadelphia Phillies coming into Seattle and just putting a whipping on the Mariners last night. 9-0. What a disappointment. To say the very least, a radical understatement on my part. It was a disappointment.
I like what you said about El Hombre. There's a science fiction movie out right now where they said, the enemy's going to want to gloat over you. And that's all I could think of. He's Baron Harkonnen from Dune. He's going to want to gloat over us.
Can you blame him? I mean, his team's still under 500, so right.
That makes it worse.
I know.
That makes it worse. So, yeah, they're like in fourth place in the AL East. I'm sorry, NL East. They're tied for third, I guess, with the Marlins. But 13-16, and yeah, that's what happens. I was telling you, Bob. I sat down with my notebook, and I was all excited, and it got out of control pretty quickly.
It did, and that's the unfortunate part of it. And we've talked about this with any of these pitchers, not just Flexen or Gilbert Array, any of them. They're going to go out and have a night where it's just not there. And last night, Chris Flexen's been good. He's been good. He's received 5 runs of run support in 5 starts. 5 runs, Dave.
Yeah,
combined.
I was complaining about Marco the other day, and you brought that up yesterday, and sure enough, it happened again.
Yeah, so they don't have any slack. I mean, you can't struggle. You can't. It's like they've got to hold the opposition to 2 runs or less to feel like you've got a shot. Once you get to 3 runs at this point, with the way the offense is just absent, it feels like it's insurmountable. Like 3 runs, it's over. And then bring in Diego Castillo for comic relief out there to throw a little gas on the fire. He goes 2/3 of an inning, gives up 3 runs. I would not like to see him again in any sort of situation of consequence, if it can be avoided. If you have other options, please use them. If the game's out of hand already, which I guess last night it was 6-0. He comes in, so you know they didn't score a run. It's not like he didn't lose them the game. He just added to the frustration.
Yeah, I'll be very curious to hear if Scott talks about that or says anything, or if they make a move with him. It just seems like I'm sure that there are things to like. But, yeah, I'm not seeing it. So that's really tough to watch, especially when you kind of – he's already been sort of on the hot seat.
Yeah. So does this – this feeling after a game like that where you're just like, ugh, this is just gross. It brings me back to last season, almost the same time of year exactly. You look at May 21st, 22nd, 23rd, Dave. They were in the midst of a 3-game series with the San Diego Padres. And they got destroyed 16-1 in the first game. Second game, closer, 6-4, still lost. Third game, got destroyed again, 9-2. That completed a 6-game losing streak. They were in the midst of a 6-game losing streak and losing 11-14. It is almost the same time. It's almost the same feeling that you had. I remember coming out of that series just disgusted, just going, it's one thing to get beat. It's quite another to go out there and not even be competitive. And that's what this feels like. Now, does that mean things are going to go the way they did last season when they, you fast forward 90 wins and they were in it to the last series of the season and all this excitement? And so that's still very possible. But we're kind of right back where we were at this exact time almost last season with the feeling of, this team's not even competing. They went out there and it was a disaster. They were 0-7 with runners in scoring position. nobody can seem to hit. I mean, you know, J.P. Crawford's out, Haniger's out. That has a big impact, clearly. Makes your lineup much longer. You're now counting on – you've got, I think, five guys in total on the roster hitting above 200.
That's exactly what we said last year, except I think it was three.
That we're hitting above 200?
Yeah, three or four, because I think it was Mitch, maybe Kyle. Yeah, so I can't
probably
remember.
Ty France would be the other one.
Yeah, exactly. So, and here's a silver lining, three for four, Julio Rodriguez. The four hits.
They had four total hits. He had three of them. Yeah. And lo and behold, he's one of the – so the guys that are hitting above 500 on this team, J.P. Crawford, who's out, and hopefully he'll be back soon, maybe today, we'll see. Ty France, Tom Murphy, and he's had about half the at-bats. Everybody else is less than half. Julio and Adam Frazier hitting 246. Now you got three guys who are hitting exactly 200.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Winker, Mitch Haniger, where you'd kind of give him a pass. He's only played nine games. And then Suarez is hitting – an even 200, and now leads the team in strikeouts at 39, by the way. And then everybody else, Dylan Moore, Torrens, Toro, Kelnick, Raleigh's hitting 069. And I know he's up here because you have to have him because Tom Murphy's hurt. He looks as lost as any player I've seen at the plate. And it's amazing he gets sent down to AAA before Murphy got hurt, and he starts hitting down there. It just speaks to the difference in what you see, the jump between AAA and what you see at Major League Baseball, because he's a guy, you look at his numbers in AAA, he's just been a hitter. He had that big long hitting streak last year we talked about and looked like he was just a guy who was going to come up here and rake. He looks as lost as anybody I've ever seen. Like, when he steps up, I feel like, all right, well, there's an out. There's just no chance there.
Yeah, it's strange, especially since, like you said, they sent him to Tacoma, and he's hitting. He's doing okay. But another little bright spot, and that's what I'm here for, Bob. Penn Murphy. Our guy,
yeah,
that, you know, we interviewed him what 2-3 weeks ago,
and yeah, right after he got called up,
yeah, no runs, 10 strikeouts, no hits, one walk in 7 2/3 innings. So, and last night made an appearance and pitched an inning, had one strike, gave up nothing.
Yeah, so, no walks, no hits, one strikeout, zero ERA. So that was great. He was great. Young was great. We'll speak to him. Any minute now, we'll talk to him. 2 1/3, so he put in some work last night. Three hits, one walk, three strikeouts, no runs. But it just speaks to the it was a rough night for Flexen. I'm not trying to paint it as anything other than that. But the problem is you know, what does that do to the psyche of a pitcher out there who feels like, you know, in watching this offense, I've given up two runs, I've given up three runs. Does he start getting tight? Does he start feeling like, well, I can't afford to give up another run because the offense isn't going to be able to battle back from that. So does it change the way does it change their approach? Do they attack differently? Are they less aggressive than they would otherwise be? Are they more aggressive? Are they making pitches or making decisions with pitches they otherwise wouldn't make if they had a belief in their offense?
Yeah, you know, one of the pitches I was going to talk to, we're going to get Blowers later in the week, but there was a curveball that got hit for a home run. I'm trying to remember. I'll recognize his name the second I see it, but it was a curveball.
Gene Segura, Hoskins,
yeah. Yeah, and it looked to me, and Mike said, yeah, that didn't go where he wanted it, but I mean, it was almost like golfed out,
yeah,
into Edgar's, yeah, and I was like, yeah, I'm curious to ask Mike about that pitch because it just seemed like a really hard pitch to hit, and the guy just, you know, it was kind of
a
weird
tip
swing.
Your cap?
No,
are
I'm
you
just saying,
tip your cap, Dave?
I just felt like I'm not. I guess it. On that one, I felt like it was more. It wasn't so much that he missed so horribly, but Blowers said he did, and
yeah,
I'm listening to Blowers. But I was just
I
like,
felt like your hand was
Bob. I'm not even wearing a hat.
I felt like he was reaching up to tip the cap.
By
don't
the way,
do it, Dave.
Can I borrow yours?
Yeah, you're gonna not if you're gonna tip it. No,
I don't think it would fit anyway.
Just sit on top
is
of
it
your
adjustable?
Head like a little beanie. Yeah, it is. This one is.
Yeah,
this one is. We should try it on you to see how much bigger. Your head is than mine because you've thought you were part of the small head club here.
Yeah, and I found out that I just had really big shoulder pads.
Well,
all we can do is laugh. I just you know, I'm just wondering about the fans in how I was just asked a question over on the FM side about how, you know, like with the Seahawks, you know, we know that after they lost that Super Bowl, that everybody stopped listening.
They scattered.
Like, la, 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 la. Don't want to hear it. So we'll see how they handle it.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a moment. But one of the bright spots last night, and there were only a couple, is now joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. relief pitcher Danny Young is with us. Danny, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing good. Well, a little rough for Seattle Mariner fans, as you could probably imagine. But let's talk about what you were able to do last night and making your debut. You go 2 1/3, and you don't surrender any runs. Give us a feeling of what that was like stepping out on the hill for the first time.
It was really cool. It's kind of tough to put it into words on how it feels, especially, you know, I've had a long journey to get here. It was incredible, and I just, you know, first batter a little nerves, but after that I just tried to settle in and do my job.
Well, Danny, did you have an idea that you were going to go that long, or what was the approach? What'd they tell you when you went into the game?
I just said you're in the game, and, you know, just kind of where the game was at. I had a feeling I was just going to, you know, keep going until I couldn't go anymore. And, you know, luckily for me, I was able to get enough outs to kind of help out some of the boys in the pen that have been working really hard the past few weeks and, you know, just kind of finish the game.
Does that help you when you come in? And obviously you never want to enter in this situation, but the game was out of hand by the time you got in there. So does that allow you to go up there and say, all right, I don't need to nibble. I can go out there and be aggressive and throw my pitches that I want to throw and throw them the way I want to throw them. Does that take some of the heat off of you?
Not really, honestly. You know, it's a debut. Regardless of the score, I think everyone puts a ton of pressure on themselves for their debut to kind of go out there and, you know, not only prove to the people that put you in that situation, but prove to yourself that you earned it and you belong there. And it was good.
Hey, Danny, tell us about the first text or first phone call that you either made or got after the game. Was it your parents? Who did you talk to first?
After the game, I had a ton of text messages and a lot. I just responded to a lot of texts, not many phone calls, because all my family and everybody's on the East Coast for the most part. So they stayed up, but it was real late. And by the time I was, you know, all out of there and everything, I'm pretty sure everyone was asleep. So it was actually kind of nice. I could just kind of, you know, respond to text messages, but kind of decompress.
So you talked about it being a long journey here. You're 27. You'll be 28 coming up this month. But what, you know, so you've had a long road. You finally got here. I'm sure you envisioned this moment a million times. Did it match the way you thought it would be? I mean, were the nerves more, less than you thought? How did it live up to what you had in your mind?
I think it helps. It took me so long to get here. You know, once you're, it's like you got here finally. And I think being here for 4 days before I got in the game actually kind of helped me get away from those, like, first day. The first day I was here, I was pretty nervous, you know. But once I, like the baseball stuff, once I started throwing and once I got out to the mound, I was pretty calm, honestly. And I think that's, you know, I can attribute that to the long road and just, you know, taking a moment to be able to just be grateful for the opportunity and not let it get big and run away from me.
Well, I got to imagine, you know, all that you went through. And like you said, it's always kind of funny in baseball, you know, you can be 27 years old, but you're the new guy. You know, you're the rookie, and there's 22, 23-year-olds that are around. I guess you could talk to Paul Sewald about that, right? I think he made his debut at 30. So have you talked to him a little bit about what that's like?
I haven't specifically talked to him about that, but, you know, having a guy like Sewald around, he's obviously very nice, and he's a wealth of knowledge. You know, I'm just trying to learn everything I can from guys like him and guys like Romo that have been around, and just kind of acclimate myself as best as possible.
Did you know many of these players? I mean, you've come up through the minor leagues and maybe had interactions played with them at certain points. Who on the roster do you have a relationship with, if any of them?
I played with Festa and Munoz in the fall league, actually, in 2017. So I was comfortable with them. I mean, they decided to get here a little quicker, but it is nice, you know, even going to spring training, knowing that, like, Festa was in the organization, it's like a new org. It's nice to at least have someone that you have a relationship with, and all the guys here are incredibly gracious and welcoming, and it's a really good clubhouse.
Danny, it looks like you played college baseball at Florida. At what point did you know, hey, I think I got a shot at being a major league pitcher?
I can't put a finger on it. You see guys that you've played against get to the big leagues, and maybe it's a biased opinion, but you swear you're just as good, if not better. And you see them get there, and you just kind of think, man, right place, right time. I got to do my part, pitching well at the right time. But just kind of keep chucking along. And I found myself, you know, played long enough to get in the right spot at the right time, I guess.
Yeah.
Were you always a pitcher? I mean, coming up through, you know, Little League, through junior high, high school, college, were you a position player converted, or was it always about pitching?
I was always a pitcher once I got to college. It hit high school. Once I got to college, I was strictly a pitcher.
All right, Danny, want to get to know you here. So are you a married guy, or you have dogs, or, you know, what? Tell us about your family.
Married, have a girlfriend and a dog. That's
okay.
A couple sisters.
There you go.
I think the phone cut out because it sounded like you said married and have a girlfriend.
Married. Right?
Oh, not no. Married. Okay. Wow, that's a pretty interesting situation. Let's dive into that.
We want to clear that up. Danny, we got to clear that up because it did cut out right there. You're not married. You do have a girlfriend. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to take a whole different turn in this conversation. But so had you been to Seattle much throughout your life? Are you familiar with the area, or are you kind of getting to know it now?
Never been to Seattle in my life. Never really spent too much time really in this part of the country at all, except briefly when my short season year, we would play in Everett. But it's kind of really my first time here other than the month I've spent in Tacoma prior to, and just like to, you know, check out the city. And it's a beautiful city, and there's a ton of things around here, so I like it.
Yeah, have you kind of been doing that? What do you like to do outside of baseball?
I just like to wake up, get a cup of coffee, and try and find a good breakfast sandwich. If you've got any good recommendations, I'm open.
Well, ooh, good breakfast sandwich. Let's see.
Lefko's the Chow Hound.
Well, yeah,
Lefko,
there's,
you know,
there's Luna Park in West Seattle, which is where I live. They have great breakfast. And then in Capitol Hill, there's a place called Glow's, GLO. Yes, oh. It's a very good breakfast as well. I'll come find you in the clubhouse if I can think of a couple other places, but those are two for you right there.
Perfect.
And I'm with you. I love breakfast is my favorite. I love breakfast food. It's the best.
Yeah, but you eat ears at like noon or something.
Well, that's still breakfast food, though. The food is still the same. Hey, as far as guys maybe you sort of looked up to or modeled your game after, anybody that you really followed as a young guy in high school, college, that you looked up to and wanted to emulate?
Well, when I was younger and I was just a normal, you know, kid who thought he was going to hit his way to the big league, growing up, I had a lot of family from the Northeast and they liked the Yankees. So I was a Jeter guy, obviously, growing up. But the older I've gotten, I've come to appreciate the left-handed reliever a lot, obviously. I really liked watching Andrew Miller pitch. Hmm. He's got a much better fastball than me, but I just really enjoyed watching him pitch, and him and guys like him and Sale, and, you know.
Hey, Danny, when you were growing up, did you play other sports or was it always baseball?
Pretty much always baseball. I played soccer for like 5 minutes and it was rainy and cold one day, and I told my mom I didn't want to come back, and that was the last time I ever played soccer. I was about 8 years old.
Now, last thing before we let you go, being up here in Seattle, it's almost a requirement that you become a Seahawks fan as a member of a Seattle sports franchise out here. Who's your football team coming in? Is it the Giants, the Jets, the Bills, maybe a New York team, or who is it?
I really don't have a favorite team. In these past few years, I haven't been following sports too closely outside of baseball. I more appreciate players. You know, I really like to appreciate players that are incredibly skilled at their craft.
Fair enough. Well, hey,
I hope he doesn't say Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah, he's on another team now. So yeah, don't say him, Danny. If anybody asks you, say DK Metcalf. That'll be a good answer for you. It's good to talk to you, man. Congratulations on the debut. You look great out there, and hopefully we see you out there and see the team in a winning situation with you on the hill is going to be really fun. So thanks so much for taking time with us.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
Good luck, Danny.
You too. There you go. Danny Young of your Seattle Mariners, who, again, a bright spot in an otherwise dumpster fire of a game. He went 2 1/3, did not give up a run, struck out 3. So
I thought for sure you were going to come in here today and just tip your cap to the Phillies.
No, absolutely not. I will not do that. Let's take two.
Well, how about this news? Tom Brady's not retiring, but Fox Sports has already announced that he will be their lead NFL analyst on game broadcast whenever he does retire. Oh, who knows when that could be. But when he does, he already has a signed contract for 10 years and $375 million. That's a player-like contract for a broadcaster.
You gotta be kidding me.
Holy mackerel.
I'm sorry, I did not read ahead on this one. I just looked at the... I can't believe that.
The rich get richer. His life just gets better, Dave.
I know. He's got to have some problems. Maybe he hates unloading the dishwasher. I don't know. I'm sure he doesn't. But I have to say that Tom Brady, the older that he gets, the more is like, I can't get enough of him. The things that he says makes so much sense. I feel like him and Peyton Manning should get together at some point.
Yeah, they're friends, and they have that friendly banter back and forth. And yeah. I mean, just the guy's living a charmed existence as it is. He's the greatest to ever wear a football uniform. He's got a trophy case that is beyond full. He's got to buy extra trophy cases. I mean, what? He's got a supermodel wife. He's made all the money in the world. Everybody loves him. What? Isn't that enough?
I gotta say, man,
can they give somebody else a break that could use a break out there? $375 million to do broadcasting?
Can you?
Yeah, holy mackerel!
I mean, if you would have heard that, because I remember when Russell got his $22 million contract, and I think at that time Aaron Rodgers was making 25.
Yeah,
but if you'd have said $37.5 million a year to be a broadcaster. And he can only do 16 games. I mean, I'm sure he'll put in, or 17. I'm sure he'll put in, plenty of work in the offseason. But, I mean, he pretty much knows the second he retires, he'll know everybody in the league. And
yeah.
I'm just thinking he's probably not going to take him that long to get up to speed.
And he'll be staying in the best hotels, flying in the best possible, probably private planes. He's not going to be flying with the common unwashed.
NetJet.
He's going to have
his own jet,
top floor suite of every 5-star hotel city that he goes. It's my goodness, what a life!
He's probably miserable. Game what was that?
He's probably miserable.
I would like to ask him why.
Sorry, I don't know how he could be. Let's ask him when he's in town. He's going to call a Seahawks game eventually. Now, whenever he retires,
about 10 years.
What's it like to be you?
Go in the other booth.
Nothing
Dave.
Wrong.
Maybe you two will have something in common. You'll both be broadcasters on NFL games.
That will be where the similarities end.
You both played in the NFL.
You played in the NFL.
Well, that's true. By the way, when he does finally retire, this might be chicken change, the $375 million.
Yeah. If he plays another 4 years, is he going to be a bargain?
Yeah.
Well, we have another game announcement released by the NFL. Now, the full schedule comes out Thursday, but they teased another one. It's the Rams hosting Russell Wilson and the Broncos on Christmas Day, and we are expected to get a couple more primetime game announcements tomorrow.
So you kind of have to root for Russell in that one, don't you? I know a draft pick is on the line, but that's your division rival, and if you think you're going to be competitive in this division, you need the Rams to lose. So what are those bitter Seahawks fans, those that are anti-Russell now, what are they going to do?
I don't know. I think it'll be maybe by that point. We'll know by then if they're going to be in the race, the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, then you're rooting against Russ and you're hoping you get that high draft choice. But, man, talk about getting a lump of coal in your stocking.
Yeah.
You got to watch him on Christmas.
All right, Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Where will the Mariners be able to get help for this offense? We're going to get into that next. This is Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Our thanks to Danny Young, who joined us in the previous segment. Made his debut for your Seattle Mariners last night in a game that was otherwise about as forgettable as you could possibly imagine. He went 2 1/3 inning. No runs, more importantly. Something that Flexen couldn't match and that Diego Castillo certainly couldn't match. So good to see him go out there, have some success in his debut. If you guys missed that conversation, it will be available on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. So some good news about the Mariners and the offense is J.P. Crawford is back in the lineup today. So that's good. You need that, Dave. You need somebody.
We need lots, but just getting him back, that really, and we didn't complain. We complained a lot about that last year, but they're kind of a little bit snake bit as far as, we're kind of going through it right now. I mean, you missed Mitch for, what was the COVID thing, 5 games, and then
Played 9 games.
Right.
In total. So, yeah, what are they at, 30 games? Is that where they're at?
He's got 7 RBIs in those 9 games. So, yeah, you're missing that guy. But, yeah, that, and then you saw JP go down a little bit. Who am I missing? Somebody that was...
Well, Kyle Lewis was never here, but he's out.
Yeah.
And then Giles was never here.
Yeah.
He's out. Romo was out. Yeah. So, yeah, you've in 30 games, you've lost some players out there due to injury for various lengths of time.
Are you using that as an excuse right now? I mean, not an excuse, but an explanation for where they are.
No. Because I don't think you've got that many players hitting under 200 because Mitch and JP aren't there. I mean, it's these guys need to take ownership of themselves and what they're doing or not doing out there. And certainly it helps lengthen the lineup, and it can change the pitches you're seeing if a guy is on deck. If Mitch is behind you on deck and, you know, the pitches you're going to see, they want to put you on base, so you can get more fastballs. So it can alter things in that situation. But, yeah, it just makes the lineup longer. You've got, you know, 2 more threats in there with J.P. Crawford and Mitch Haniger that you don't have currently. You know, Boy, I mean, you look at the lineup yesterday. Toro's leading off. Guy's got a .223 on base percentage. I know he had a big home run the other night. Hit one in the game before that when they were getting crushed. It was sort of meaningless. But you thought maybe he's going to find his rhythm because he's really been scuffling. He goes 0-for-4 last night. He's hitting .160 on the season. Julio's, you brought up. They had 4 total hits. He had 3 of them. You know, the rookie out there who's slowly creeping up. He's hitting .255 now with a .319 on base. But Suarez was 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts. You had Winker, who was 1-for-3. He's got that average up to .200. So yeah. It's just these guys need to pick it up. You know, Torrens hitting .163 with a .196 on base. I know he's not out there a ton. He's out there more since Murphy's been hurt. But that's your DH. Your DH that you roll out there hitting .163 with a .196 on base percentage. It just, it feels like this thing's not built very well. Feels like you got role players. You got Torrens, you got Moore, you got Toro. They feel like versions of the same player.
Well, and I was looking also at Ranger Suarez just to see, how good of a pitcher he is. But, he had 7 Ks last night, which is his season high. And he's been okay. I mean, his ERA is 3.68, so it's not like they had, some fireballer up there that was going to just dominate everybody at the plate. So that's the other thing that was really kind of discouraging to see.
Did we overrate this team? Did we look at this lineup and go, you know what? This team's – I still think they're a more talented team. I know that's hard to say in light of what we've seen recently coming off the heels of a 9-0 game where you didn't even look competitive and you came up with 4 total hits, 3 from one guy. I still feel like there's more talent. They're not living up to who they've been or who they can be, certainly. Everybody, there's a lot of underachieving going on. But, I'm where do you point the finger in this situation? I saw a lot of heat on Twitter last night, and, again, that's immediate reaction, but a lot of, got to get Service out of here. Got to get DePoto out of here. They've blown. How long do you go with these guys? I'm thinking, okay, well, what is – Service is working with the pieces that he's got. He can't hit, he can't pitch, and he can't field for these guys. He's working with who's healthy and who's available. Have there been major mistakes by Service that have cost them games this year that I've missed?
No.
I don't know. I'm not sure what he's supposed to do that he hasn't done to this point. I'm not saying he's been perfect, but, looking at a 9-0 game, how much of that was his fault? I mean, Flexen didn't have his stuff. He got lit up. Your offense did nothing. How much of a guy struggling to hit is on Service? Is it on the hitting coach? Or how much do you put on the individual player who's being paid millions of dollars in most cases to be out there, producing on some level? So I just don't know how much you can truly blame. If you're going to blame one of the two, it would, in my opinion, fall more on Jerry, certainly, than Scott. Scott's working with the pieces he's been handed. Jerry's the one that, with roster construction, putting this together, making the moves in the offseason, saying, we got the pieces we need.
I don't think he was wrong, though. I mean, look, you asked the question, did we overrate this team? I always look at it from the standpoint of you're going to, like for the Seahawks, I'll say, with Drew Locke, I'm really hoping, almost expecting that they get the best out of him. that they can, you know, they can draw something out that so he can be his best. And I, you know, I'm looking at this team and going, yeah, I mean, you knew Julio was probably going to struggle, but he's starting to come around, you know. And
yeah,
what is he hitting? Around 250 right now. It's steadily climbed up. He was 3-for-4 last night. And then, but you know, Kelnick also, I expected him to really come around and be in have a better batting average than he has right now. I expected that. So, I mean, mm-hmm. with those things happening, yeah, what is he, 146 right now, Kelnick?
146 with a 220 on base.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just I expected him to kind of be on the trajectory that Julio Rodriguez is, which he's batting 255 now. So
yeah, he's hitting 364 this month.
Yeah.
Julio.
Awesome.
I mean, he's been very good.
But, I mean, if you're Jerry, I mean, you kind of expect that from him. You expect Kelnick to start to come around. You expect guys to play up to what, you know, I want to say, like, for Suarez, you don't expect him to, you know, lead the AL in home runs, or what was it, 2019 or 20, whenever he had 49 home runs. I mean,
Suarez?
But, yeah, somewhere around there, right? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for.
Yeah, you would love for him to return to that form. It's just he hasn't been there the past couple of seasons for whatever reason. Apparently a shoulder injury, had fell into the pool at his house or something. I hadn't received clarity on that. But, yeah, in 2019, he hit 271 with a 358 on base and hit 49 home runs, 103 runs driven in. Since then, he went 202, 312, 198, 286 last year, and then so far this year, and even 200, 311 on base.
Yeah,
but so I mean, he just hasn't been that player since 19, and maybe he can get somewhere close to that. He doesn't have to get. It'd be great if he could. The year before that, hit 283, so he could hit for average and power before. So I'm not really sure. Is this all because of his shoulder injury? Is it? I don't know. I'm not. We weren't watching him. He was out there in Cincinnati.
Well, I'll tell you what. He's looked pretty good defensively. I mean, he's made some really flashy plays at third, so that hasn't been a problem, so that's good news. But yeah, I think, you know, is Jerry wrong? I mean, he put together, like you said, he can't go out there just like Service, he can't go out there and hit for these guys, you know. I feel like he put together a team that he's trying to get the best out of guys that aren't playing their best.
All right, coming up, the Mariners revenge tour continued last night for one former player, and is that the type of player the M's needed to add in this offseason? We'll talk about that next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, Paul Moyer will join us on the program. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Always a good conversation with Paul. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. I'm sure Paul was texting furiously last night in his group. You wouldn't know because you're not allowed in it. But I'm guessing the texts were flying fast and furious over the Mariners last night, do you think?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I talked to him. I think he texted something last week, or maybe it was this week, where it's like the Mariners and then
FT
for Washington Football Team.
Yeah, something like that.
Or something like that. Yeah, you know, he's living and dying just like we are. And that's kind of how, you know, you see, I don't know if you've checked the text toy. I haven't really looked at it, but I'm curious how people think about it. You know, are they hanging in there? Are they?
Oh, they're pretty mad. The most recent text, and you guys can text in 421-3776, powered by Back and Jack's Brewing Company, weighing in on who you sort of point the finger at. You know, Service, is he the guy that is not doing something he should be doing? I put more of it, if we're going to, at this point, it's still 30 games. I know it's irritating to hear that, but it is 162. At this point, though, if we're looking at it, I'm looking at the roster construction. I'm looking at Jerry. That's what I'm looking at this point. So there's people weighing in on that. And then somebody saying, you know, I read it to you during the break.
Something about give him the charge the beach
when we were asking what Service should do that he hasn't done. 425 says he can go light a fire under them, get people motivated to play better. That's what Lou did. I don't know that there are magic words. It's not lack of effort or lack of intensity or lack of urgency. If anything, there's too much of that. Maybe he should talk to him and get him to calm down, because we've seen Kelnick up there looking like he's grinding that bat into sawdust. And the same with Winker at this point. You know these guys care. You know they're, if anything, they're trying too hard. There's nobody you're looking at going, ah, guy's dogging it. So well, I don't know what service is supposed to say at this point.
Like, didn't you say something about somebody referenced to Lou Piniella? And,
yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
And, or her, whoever sent that text.
But, yeah, Lou didn't have a bunch of young guys, right?
No, Lou was not a big fan of using young players. Wasn't his preference, especially when it came to pitchers. But he had a lot of veterans to work with, Lou did. So,
well, and this is the opposite. I mean, look, that's exactly what the future of this has been about, has been building the farm system and getting these guys, you know, to develop. And it's all about the youth, to me, anyway. If you ask me what's the theme of this rebuild, I mean, it's been about, you know, getting stuff, you know, what you get out of Jared Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez, just to name a few.
Yeah. It's a tough spot to be in, and I get the frustration from the fans. I'm there with you. I totally understand it. I think you're absolutely allowed to feel that way without question. Now, we've seen this in this brief set, former Mariners coming through and doing damage to the team. We saw Mike Zunino hit that 3-run home run last Thursday. Last night it was Gene Segura going deep, and then as he's rounding the bases, kind of pointing to the pen. Did you see him doing that?
I did see that.
Yeah.
Who's he pointing to?
He needed some ketchup, I think.
Is that what
calling
it was?
Out there? What? Which people are noticing your empty ketchup bottle.
Left Coast trying
bottle.
To make a joke.
Oh, people seeing my...
People are seeing your empty ketchup bottle. They wanted to know what it was.
I gotcha. Yeah.
they're asking what's in your bag there. I don't think anybody saw ketchup. They just said, what's in Dave's bag?
I did bring the last bit of ketchup for my macaroni and cheese.
He's going to drink it straight out of the bottle.
I didn't want to put it into a container because it would waste, you know... Every time you transfer it, you lose a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. The ketchup bottle sticking out of there. But Segura, he's been on a 7-game hit streak. He's hitting .293 with 4 home runs, .789 OPS. But he was also the guy that you traded to get J.P. Crawford over here. If you're asking me who I'd rather have between those two, I'd rather have J.P. Crawford, without question.
Yeah, well, remember, there were some problems with Gene. Right.
Well, he got into a little dust up with D. Gordon in the clubhouse, and there was a bit of a thought that he had a bit of an attitude.
Yeah. Well, I remember hearing a story one time when they were talking about, you know, when their leadoff off the bag, and like Robinson Cano, who never really said anything, and I think didn't he help out Gene? I want to say Robinson, because I think Gene Segura lost a child. And, you know, that was he needed some help, and Robinson Cano reached out to him. But, you know, so he seemed like he was kind of his mentor when he was here. But there was a meeting about the leadoff or whatever, and I guess before Service could even say anything, Cano looks at him and says, "What the bleep? What are you doing, man?" And, you know, it was so out of...
What are you doing?
Yeah,
I just... know what you're doing on first.
It was very out of character for Mr. Cool, Robinson Cano. Yeah. That guy, I don't care what you say, that was the nicest dude ever, and he was just such a... He was just a good, nice guy. I mean, he was very smooth.
You got the best of him here.
Yeah.
You know, they shipped him out. I'll give Jerry credit. They brought him in for a lot of money. He paid off, had a career high in home runs one year. He turned into a team leader nobody expected.
Yeah.
And then when it started to fall apart is when you got rid of him, and now he's being paid $40-plus million to not play.
So Segura points to the bullpen.
To the pen area. Not the bullpen, but the pen where everybody's hanging out.
All the young people that are out there, yeah.
So I don't know if that's just, hey, not salute, sure. Love you, Seattle, or I who knows? Who knows? Yeah. You're kind of numb at that point because that's early in the game, first run of the game. You're like, really? Another former Mariner coming in here doing damage. A little salt on the wound is all that was, really.
Well, I couldn't believe the thing, the graphic they had before Zunino, speaking of guys that have been here, that he had hit, I think he had 4 hits off of Robbie Ray, and 3 of them were home runs, and then he hit another home run off of him. So, and I don't, you know, they didn't have the strikeouts in there and the groundouts and all that. I don't know what his average was against Robbie Ray, but he had hit 3 home runs off of him, and then he hit his 4th.
Yeah, yeah. It's, it's been an interesting run. Hopefully it'll be one we reflect on like we did the Padres series and go, God, remember when that was going on? It felt like the season was completely lost after 30 games, and now look at him. Hopefully we're having that conversation like we did last year. All right, coming up, we get him early this week. Paul Moyer is going to join us next. You're listening to Wyman and Bob right here, Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.